We're in chapter 38 of the book of Job for 35 chapters. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu have been going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're trying to figure out, well, what happened to Job? Job says he didn't deserve any of these hugely challenging circumstances. And Illy, Billy, and Zilly, they say, yeah, you did. And God tells us in chapters 1 and 2 that Job was very righteous. We happen to know that God took us into heaven and showed us that God is doing something. Lucifer has leveled an accusation against both Job and God. Here's the accusation. See, Lord, people only love you and follow you because of what's in it for them. And God says, really? There's nothing about just relationship, being in love? Nope, because Job is a mercenary. Okay, says the Lord, I'll tell you what, I'm going to lower my hedge of protection. That was very insightful. I hope you had a wonderful kind of revelation. Wait a minute. You mean for the enemy to mess with me, the enemy has to go through God's permission first? What's the answer? Yeah. So anything that is sort of shenanigans of the evil one in our life, it's not because God wasn't watching. Actually, the enemy had to ask God's permission to do so. Which begs the question, what? Why does God let the enemy have any access to me at all? And here's the answer. I don't know, but I know him and I know his character. And his character is, I love my kids and I don't let anything touch their lives unless it is serving an eternal purpose. Often it's growing the faith muscle of a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, see, Job doesn't know that yet. And so God is now showing up in chapter 38, and he's basically saying, from the whirlwind, Illy, Billy, and Zilly, you're all wrong. Shut up and listen. And I wrote in my margin here, right around verse 8, I wrote Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, how high are the heavens, you guys? They're pretty far out there. So are my ways, says the Lord, higher than yours. And that's how much higher my thoughts are than your thoughts. Hey, Illy, Billy, and Zilly, if you know so much, where were you when I, and we're going to pick it up in verse 8, when I shut in the sea with doors, which is to say, when I set its boundaries, when it burst forth and issued from the womb. We covered that last week. Noah's flood really happened. And as you might imagine, a worldwide flood, which wasn't just like you know, the water slowly rising. And if you didn't know, the rain 40 days and 40 nights did not flood the earth. That's not what flooded the earth. The plate tectonics that we now know, the Pacific plate, the North American plate, they cracked open and they spread apart, it would seem, very rapidly. I showed you a film on that last week. Fascinating, huh? That the ocean floors raised up the continents. Now they drift apart very, very slowly. But then they opened up. And then also showed you in the book of Genesis chapter 1 what there was waters above, probably a canopy of water suspended in the atmosphere. That suddenly condensed, and then the waters from below, they came jutting up, and that's what flooded the earth. And then we saw as the plates that were subjunctive, is that the right term? Going under other plates, they would build tension and pop the other one up, and that would send up massive, massive tidal waves over the entire continents. And then I showed you some core samples. In the last 20-ish or so years, they've been drilling core samples from Canada all the way to Mexico, from the west coast to the east coast, because they want to find out what's in the dirt below your lawns, etc. And come to find out, there are 4 major and 6 in total major tidal waves that flooded and crested over all the continents. And then as the continents would raise even more, then they would sheet off, and that's the incoming tidal waves deposited layer after layer of sediments. And then as the continents sheeted off water, That running water is what ran through Arizona and Colorado in the softer sand layers at the time. And that's why they are those layers, not only in the Grand Canyon, but they're on every continent. We had some fun looking at that. So if that's interesting to you, get our tape from last week. But we're going to start looking at some other science stuff. Careful, caution, Pastor Steve's science geek cushion will peek out terribly tonight. Where were you when I shut all the doors and, when I set the boundaries? Verse 9, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. We looked at that in great detail. That is wrapping the earth in water above and below. Verse 10. When I fixed my limit for it, the sea, I set bars and doors. Verse 11. And when I said, this far you may come, but no further. Here and here your proud waves must stop. If you've ever walked along a wonderful beach, how many of you are glad that the water would lap up on the shore and then you would just walk just out of reach of the, can't get any waves? How many of you are glad that God set the boundaries for the waves? Verse 12. And have you, Illy, Billy, and Zilly, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Did you set the sun rising? No. Verse 13. That it, or its light, may take hold of or reach to the ends of the earth, and the wicked shall be shaken out of it. The idea is many crimes are done at night, you see. And when the dawn dawns or the sun comes up, most of those will sort of move on away. And it, verse 14, the pre-dawn light takes on form or color like clay under the seal and then stands out or everything fills with color like a garment. I know you guys live near the ocean, and if you've ever walked on the beach, if you're on the west coast, the sun is going to come up behind you. But if you're looking out to the western Pacific and the sun's coming up, right before the sun actually breaks the horizon, there is a beautiful sort of color thing going on. The filmmakers call that magic hour. There's no shadows, and there's a kind of an opaqueness to the colors. And then suddenly the sun breaks over the horizon and that brilliant white light containing all the colors of the rainbow, zing, and then the colors come alive. Any human, I believe, who has ever opened their eyes pre-dawn until dawn have been taken by the fact, wow. And God is saying, hey, Mr. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, did you guys have anything to do with that? No. Verse 16. Have you entered the springs of the sea? In other words, all that water in the ocean, hey, where'd it come from? Is there a big bucket underneath the water somehow or some springs? Where does all that seawater come from? Do you guys know? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, do you know how deep the ocean is what he's saying. I told you, nerd alert, so look out. Do you know that it took humans until the year 1875 to discover that likely the deepest place that the ocean was Marianas Trench, which is just off of Guam, if you know where that is. 1875, the HMS Challenger had enough rope and a weight at the end that they were sort of sounding the depths in large sections of the ocean. And they said, my, oh my, we believe that the ocean at its deepest is probably around, and they were off by a mile. Then in 1960, Jacques Picard and Don Walsh off the U.S. Navy bathysphere Triste submerged not only into the Marianas Trench, but the deepest part of Marianas Trench, which is called Challenger Deep, I guess so. Guess how deep it is, you guys? The deepest part of the ocean? We didn't find out until 1960. And if you were wondering, it's 35,798 feet deep. Yeah, that's 6.8 miles. When the Challenger only had about 5 miles of rope, they were off by an entire mile. Do you know that that is, if you go down there to that depth, 6.8 miles, you have 7.5 tons of pressure per square inch. That is amazing. And only 6 people have been to the bottom of Challenger Deep, including the Avatar director and the Titanic director, James Cameron. He was there in 2012. Only 6 people have been to the bottom of Challenger Deep because it's pretty dangerous stuff. That's fascinating to me. Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible, and it likely predates Moses, which is to say Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Well, I thought the book of Genesis goes all the way back to Adam. It does. Now remember, Moses heard those stories of the creation from his mom. His mom knew Jacob, who lived with Jacob until she was 17 years of age. Jacob, what do you mean Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who I'm talking about. And if you go to Jacob, you go back up to the flood of Noah. The Bible says that Shem, who was 100 years of age before the flood, he lived 500 years after the flood. He outlived Abraham. And if you do the family, you look at Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapters 10 and 11, you can do the math. It's easy math. Shem outlived Abraham and knew Jacob. Now let's go back to Shem. When he was a young lad of 100 years of age, he was alive when his grandfather Lamech was alive. So Lamech knew Adam. So you see how if you ever go to kind of a family picnic, after the burgers are all eaten and the cool drinks are now in everybody's hand, what do the grandmas and grandpas always talk about? They talk about the good old days, of course. So the story of the creation itself, Adam lived, and then Lamech, who was Noah's grandfather, heard it from Adam, an eyewitness. Shem lives through the flood because he's on the ark. He lives for another 500 years after the ark. Do the math. He was alive while Jacob was alive. So he told the story to Jacob. And Jacob told his great-great-great-great-granddaughter, because he was still alive, and that's Moses' mom. Who wet-nursed the baby Moses when his mom had to let him sort of out on the Nile and then sent Moses' older sister Miriam to hide in the bushes to see where the basket ended up? And where did it end up? It ended up in Pharaoh's sister's little sort of swimming area. She drew out the baby. That's what the name Moses means. Had compassion on it. And said, oh, this baby, because her bonehead brother had told the handmaidens there were so many Jews being born, kill the male ones. And many of them didn't. So sister of Pharaoh knew that. So she said, if only we had a wet nurse for the baby. Who pops out of the bushes but Miriam? I know somebody. And who was it? It was Moses' actual mom. So unlike the Cecil B. DeMille depiction, the great story, the Ten Commandments, where Moses has Charlton Heston has no idea he is Hebrew, that's just not fair to the text because his mom raised him. And so his mom told him all the stories that she had heard since she was 17 years old from Jacob, who heard it from Shem, who heard it from his grandfather, who knew Adam personally. Oh, and by the way, whatever he didn't have exactly right of the story, maybe some got lost in the oral tradition, Remember, God hung out with Moses for 80 days on Mount Sinai. And between his own recollection of his mom's accounts that he grew up with those stories, and then God's correction and editing right there on the spot, that's why Moses was able to tell the creation story of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The book of Job is older than 1500 BC when Moses wrote. It is the oldest book in the Bible. And here what you're seeing is way back then. Hey, you guys know how deep the ocean is? No. And it wasn't until 1875 we had a glimmer, but they were a mile off. 1960. That's how long it took humans to answer this question right here. Told you, look out, science geek all over the place here. Verse 17. Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. Hey, Job, remember when you were saying earlier in the book of Job, I think it would be better if I just died. Remember that, Job? And Job was all, yeah, I remember that. God asked a question there, Job. Have you been there? No. And like many people today, you know, I'm not worried about hell. At least all my buddies will be there. We'll be playing cards or something. Whoa, 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 whoa. You don't understand hell. And that's what God is saying. How foolish for you, Job, to say that. You have no idea what hell will be like. If you did, no one would ever want to go there. Jesus taught a lot about hell. Oh, you one of those churches? Fire and brimstone. Well, hold on a second. The gospel, the good news. God so loved the world that he zipped up a human suit, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a gospel, isn't it? Do you know that there's more to the gospel? What do you mean? Yeah. If you don't receive that free gift on Judgment Day, you'll stand before a holy God in your own excuses. And when the books are open, it's not only what you did, but it's what you thought. And come to find out on that great judgment day, all excuses will be exposed. And the lamest excuse of all, he made me do it. She made me do it. Think with me. They may have done or not done something that made you quite upset. But who has ultimate responsibility of what I will do with disappointment or defection? I do. And standing before the Lord, people that go into hell, those books are open and all those decisions are exposed. And going into their mind, it will come down to this. I didn't want you, God. And no one will be able to wiggle their way out of it. In fact, even Lucifer himself, as well as fallen angels and all those people who refused God's time and time again, knocking on the door of their heart, you know what they all say, descending into outer darkness? You were right, righteous and true are your judgments, O Lord. Hey, Job, I heard you talk about that. I think it would be better if I was dead. And God is saying, have you been to hell and Sheol? No. You would think differently if you knew the truth. Verse 19. Where is the way of the dwelling of light? Do you know where light comes from, dude? And what about darkness when it's suddenly in place? Verse 20. That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the path to its home. Do you know it? Because you were born then? Or because of the number of your days is great? You guys know where light comes from? You all love light. You like the sun, the moon, and torches and what have you, and oil lamps and what have you. Do you know where light came from originally and how it's made? No. Verse 22. Have you entered the treasury of snow Or have you seen the treasury of hail? This is God saying, do you know how many snowflakes there are? God, I do. Do you know how many hailstones there are? I know that too. Verse 23. Which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Has God ever used hailstones as a weapon against the unrighteous? Yes. In Pharaoh's day, were there 100-pound hailstones falling out of the sky? Yet, and there's more coming in the book of Revelation. Verse 24. By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Do you know why the sun rises in the east, fellas? You're so smart a minute ago. No. See, that's the thing. God says, leave vengeance to me. We know it as vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Couched in that phraseology, you would think that God is mad and he's looking for just an outlet to smoke somebody. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. No, no, no. Break that down. What God is saying is, y'all better not be in the vengeance business because you don't know all the facts. I do. Leave that to me. I don't like vengeance. But humans, stay out of the one-upsman game. Stay out of the, oh yeah, you knocked out one of my teeth, I'm going to knock out two of yours. Stay out of that game. You don't have all the facts. I do. And this is what God is saying here. You guys don't know about that. Verse 25, who has divided or created a channel for overflowing water, torrents of water, or a path for a thunderbolt? How many of you have ever seen thunder? You know what happens 8 million times a day all over the planet. Lightning is pretty cool. If you've ever been flying at night and you're above the cumulonimbus and those kinds of clouds, and you're looking underneath and the clouds all light up, it's pretty impressive stuff. Did you know that even today, well, what is lightning? In the clouds and in the ground, there's going to be a buildup of static electricity, positive or negative, depending on the atmospheric condition. Sometimes the clouds are heavy with positiveness, and then the ground in negativity. And what happens is the air itself is a pretty efficient insulator. But what happens is between humidity and a number of other elements that we're still not fully understanding, a band of air is just right that the insulation quotient drops suddenly, and then you have a discharge of positive to negative in a split second. And that's what a lightning bolt is. We know that air acts as an insulator between positive and negative overloads in clouds and the ground, but the precise reason and placement when that insulation breaks down enough to discharge up or down, we still don't know it exactly. Or can we predict it? And even still today, God could say the same thing. Okay, Mr. Science, and y'all can split the atom, but do you know the direction of the path of the thunderbolt? What's the answer? Unfortunately, no. Verse 26, to cause it to rain on land where there is no one. Yeah, have you ever wondered, why do I water the ground that no humans are around? You ever think of that? A wilderness in which there is no man. Verse 27, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth and growth of tender grass. That's another thing that humans, us, when we're going through it, our trial is all we can see. And here is a thing about anyone going through a significantly trying time. We begin to see our challenge, and it's the only thing we can see. This is God telling, we're going to see in a minute how he phrases it, but he's telling Job especially, Job, when you're going through it, I know your trial is all that you can see, but please notice that while you're sort of focused on your thing, I am still watering the rest of the planet. because there's little birdies and animals that need it too. Perspective, Job. I get it. When you're in it, you're pretty sure that there's nothing else really of significance happening anywhere on the planet. God says, there's a lot more going on, Job, than you have any understanding. Verse 29. From whose womb comes ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? And the waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. God is saying, do you know how and why there are seasons? I do. Do you know how and why water becomes rock hard ice and how important that is? Again, sorry for the science nerd peeking out. Did you know that when anything else gets cold, it contracts, including my lips, whatever it might be. When it gets warm, it expands. Everybody knows that. Except water. Now, in heat, water will expand, but really what happens is it changes from liquid to the steam or vapor. And when water gets cold enough, it freezes. And you plumbers, what happens to all ice in a pipe? It expands. It is the only thing that I'm aware of that when it gets cold and changes state to a solid, it expands. And that is very important. Why? Because ice, when it expands in its volume, it lowers in its density. Why is that important? Because frozen ice floats. Think about that. If the oceans at the poles, south and north, didn't happen, and all the frozen ice contracted like most things do, it would sink to the bottom. And then the freezing process would eventually freeze the poles like a solid block of ice. Could the fish survive that? Let's go to a mountain lake. When it's very cold, the top freezes, ice floats to the top, and then forms an insulative barrier so the fish don't freeze solid either. Here's another good thing. How many of you love the fact that when it snows in the mountains, the ice stays around through the summer and gives us wonderful spring water? It's a water storage and distribution system. And is that a pretty good idea? Yes. Do you understand that ice floating, if that didn't happen, there wouldn't be any life left on the earth? A science fact. Okay, let's keep cruising. Verse 31. Hey, Job. Hey, Illy, Billy, and Zilly, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades, which is a star constellation, or can you loose the belt of Orion? Most of you can find Orion in the sky because of the three dots that make up the belt of Orion. It has one shoulder is Betelgeuse, etc., etc. And it's orange in color. Yeah, I'm a star nerd. On my phone, I've got a wonderful free app called Star Walk. It is awesome. You turn your star walk on and you lift it up to the heavens and you can find any star, any satellite zooming by and the planets. For you geeks and freaks, that is awesome stuff. Did you know that before there was ESPN and the internet and before electricity and before air conditioning, what did most people do, especially in the moderate months? When it was hot in your house, you would go up to the what? To the roof. Almost everybody did. It's cooler up there. And with no artificial light pollution, the stars were brilliant. If you've been on a high mountain pass at night and there's no light around, and you get out of your car and you look up, what do the stars look like? And one of the major pastimes of pre-industrialized planet Earth, when there was no air conditioning, wherever the weather was moderate, you get out of the kitchen and out of the house because it's hot in there, and you do your evening sort of family stuff on the roof. Most people knew the 12 major constellations of the ecliptic. What's the ecliptic? That's the approximate path of the sun across the sky. And there are 12. Isn't that fascinating? Is 12 an important number in the Bible? It's God's number of administration. There are 12 star constellations that the sun is passing through night after night. For 1 month, it's in Virgo. Every night you come out, there it is in the same spot in the constellation of Virgo, but it's moving a little bit each time. And then the next month, that's how you know it's a month. Hey, how many months in a year, you guys? 12. Is that by happenstance? No, it's a God thing. So every night, the sun and or the moon would be in a different constellation. There are 12 major constellations. Attached to every one of those constellations, there are three lesser constellations that move north or south of it. Why are you telling us all this, Steve? Watch this, verse 31. Hey, Job, can you bind the cluster of Pleiades? No. Or loose the belt of Orion? No. Now watch verse 32. Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? What's Maseroth? Or can you guide the Great Bear, Ursa Major constellation, with its cubs? That's Ursa Minor, if you know where that is. Did you know that if you take the constellation of Ursa Major, the bear, Ursa Minor, the smaller bear, that there are 24 bright stars in those constellations? And a funny thing happens in the Northern Hemisphere. They all rotate night after night. They move a little differently around what star that seemingly holds its position always to the north. If we have any astrologers out there, what's that star? The North Star. Some of you Eagle Scouts and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, you were taught, if you're ever lost, find the Big Dipper, the three handle, three stars in the handle, and then you go to the Dipper itself, this two. And then these two always point to the North Star. And the North Star is the tail of the Little Dipper that is Ursa Minor. Steve, what are you talking about? I want to show you something. The 24 stars that rotate around Ursa Major or Minor make 24, and they rotate around the Pole Star. And most people who have ever been circumnavigating the ocean or any other place, everybody knows, find the Pole Star, the North Star. And in Revelation 4, verse 4, 24 elders are surrounding the throne. Are you ready? I want to show you something. Maseroth. That's the only time in the Bible that it's written. It's mentioned right here. You might want to circle that. And what does the word Maseroth mean? Maseroth itself means consecrated. Now, if you do a little work and try to find what does Maseroth mean, some people think that it means constellation. It does not. It's a Hebrew word. And it is the root word for dedicated, consecrated. Why did the Jews call the progression of the 12 constellations a dedication? I want to show you something. Go ahead, Chris, if you will. This is Kibbutz Beit Alpha, and that's where you see it in the year 1925. As you well know, the Ottoman Turks had the entire land of Israel from roughly the year 1299 A.D., until the Ottoman Turkish Empire backed the wrong folks and they lost in World War I and they were forced to disband, and they did. At that time, after 1922, much of the land, the Ottoman Turkish or Arab peoples that they had for a long time, here's the point, they didn't really like Israel that much. And Jerusalem was an afterthought. You need to know something, that it wasn't until the Jews were given the land in 1948, that's when the Arab people went, hey, that's ours, we've always loved it. I showed you a couple weeks ago what Jerusalem looked like before 1948. And I showed you a clip from Mark Twain, who traveled in the late 1800s to Jerusalem. And he said, there's hardly anybody here. They don't care about this place. Please notice that after 1922, some Jews began to come back to the Promised Land. This is in the valley south of the Sea of Galilee. If you were to go where that little dust devil is and hang a left and go north, 15 miles is the shores, the southern shores of the Sea of Galilee. This is a very fertile plain. I want you to also notice that in 1925, the only sort of development in this very fertile region are Jewish people. You look into those hills in the background, that's Jordan. Do you see any development anywhere else in that photograph? That is an aside. They didn't care about Jerusalem. The Arabs did not care about the land that they had since 1299 AD. Not until the Jews had it. All right, enough of that, Steve. Now back to the task at hand. So when Jews began to migrate back into the Holy Land, this is a kibbutz called Beit Alpha, and that's a picture of them after about 3 years of industry. So that's 1925. Hit the go button. This is what it looks like today. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, the hill that you see rolling away from the bottom of the frame, that's Mount Gilboa. You're standing on the northern side of Mount Gilboa, and you're looking at some of the most fertile land on the planet. And there's that kibbutz. Now, something happened right around the year 1929, as that kibbutz was sort of digging around because they were trying to make more water irrigation systems. They ran into this. Go ahead. They started digging, and they found, well, check that out. They found the foundation and a floor of a very old synagogue. Hit the go button. And now they put a hat over it, and now it's in a beautiful tourist attraction. That is a mosaic, you guys. And that mosaic is from the year roughly 500 AD. And how beautiful is that? That was a synagogue. And there are people that say the Jews are colonialists and they're putting out the poor Palestinians. Who was there well before 1299 and the Ottoman Turkish Arabs? The Jews were. But anyway, about that floor. I remember when I was in Israel the second time, 1983, our guide took us here. So we're saying, hey, check it out. This is a really old floor. What really got my attention was this. Go ahead. In the middle of the floor, another beautiful picture of it, you can see where the columns used to be in the front and where the ark would be, or I should say where the Torah and stuff would be. But then I remember seeing it and I said, hey, what's that design in the middle? Go ahead. It's this. That, in modern terms, would be described as the zodiac. Do you know what the Jews called it before the Babylonians corrupted it? They called it the Maseroth. What? Those are the 12 constellations that the sun travels through each month. And there they are. Pisces and Cancer and Libra and Virgo. What? Hey, I thought we weren't supposed to mess with the zodiac. And you would be correct. The predictive powers and looking into the future. God says, don't do that. However, I was sort of taken aback. Well, are the Jews messing with the zodiac? No. Before the Babylonians corrupted it into its current designation of divining, the Jews had something very special. Go ahead. Hit the go button. In fact, it says Josephus, who was a historian just after Jesus, said that the Maseroth was given to Adam and Seth and Enoch. Quote, that their revelation of two coming judgments of water and of fire not be lost. The Maseroth, or the sun and the moon progressing each month through the zodiac, not the zodiac, the Maseroth, was a timekeeping instrument, the most precise on the planet. In fact, the word zodiac comes from a primitive Hebrew word, zodi, which itself came from an even older Sanskrit word, for the way. What way? The way of the sun across the ecliptic. And for you New Testament believers, what was the church first called? The way. What are you saying? Hit our go button. There it is laid out flat. You'll see the gray kind of squares or geometric patterns. There's your major constellation, and there's the sun. What's with the wiggle? Because you remember, the earth is tilted 23 and a third degrees. So if the sun is over there, then the southern part is summer. Then you take the planet on around with the same tilt, and now the sun's over here. Then the northern hemisphere, that's our summer. So when it is winter in North America, it is summer in Australia. And so that's why the wiggle, that's why it's depicted there. I want you to see that once a month, the sun, and twice a month, the moon, is in one of those major 12 constellations. Go. So there it is. So 500 A.D., the Jews were keeping track, and they were using the 12 signs, or I should say the 12 constellations. Go. Did you know that also that the stones across the breastplate of the high priest were to signify a tribe, and every tribe had a corresponding zodiac, pardon me, Maseroth constellation. What? Yeah, jasper, clear diamond. And that was for the tribe of Simeon, and also Pisces. Sapphire on the breastplate of the high priest was blue, opaque with gold, and with gold specks, and that's the tribe of Reuben, equated with Aquarius. Look all the way down to the bottom, number 12, the last row on the breastplate of the high priest was amethyst, purple, and that's Gad and Aries. Where are you going with this, Steve? Hit the go button. Now, the Babylonians, they have corrupted this, in my personal opinion, because the devil's all, the gospel is being paraded out by the stars every night? Whew, can't have that. So what the devil does, like he does everything, he takes a clear map, the way, and he makes it weird to the horoscopes of the day. So the horoscope crowd, they start the cycle with Aries or the ram. Hit the go button. The Maseroth, however, starts with Virgo, the virgin. Go. Go ahead. Romans 10, verses 16 through 18. But they, Israel, have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? He's basically saying, yeah, right, they have. How'd they hear? Yes, indeed, says Paul. And then the last two lines are citing Psalm 19. They heard, the sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Paul is saying, something is speaking the gospel. Go. Oh, yeah? Whose sound? Whose word? Go. Psalm 19, if you get a chance, check it out when you go home. 1000 B.C., David says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, stars and constellations, show his handiwork. Day unto day, they, the stars and the constellation, utter speech. Really? And night unto night, they reveal knowledge. What are the stars saying? There is no speech nor language where there the constellations and the stars' voice is not heard. Every culture names the stars, and you would be surprised, especially the ancient cultures, they almost all name the stars the same name. Fascinating, it really is. And their line, verse 4, or their order, or the story they tell, has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Paul is saying that the 12 constellations of the Maseroth tell the gospel. What? Hit the go button. That, of course, is Virgo. Everybody can see that. How many of you can pick out a virgin from that group of stars? Have you ever noticed that? Well, that doesn't look like a virgin to me. You have to understand something. The constellations were not named because you could connect the dots and make a picture, because they don't do that. Not very well. The constellations were named because of the names and the stories of the stars they contain. Let me show what I'm talking about. First of all, let me do connect the dots. Go. Does that look like a virgin to you? Help! If it is, hit the go button. Here's what I'm talking about. Virgo, the virgin. The largest or brightest star is called the Alpha. And the Alpha star in Virgo is Spica. If you were to say that in Hebrew, that would be tzemek, which means branch. It's the Hebrew word used of the Messiah. And there's the addresses. Deacon, these are the three lesser constellations that are a little north and a little south of that, but they're all connected. So the smaller groups of constellations, or decans, are called, in Virgo, or Coma, and that means the desired one. Hey, isn't that a sign or a name of the Messiah? Yes, it is. And then Centaurus, the despised. Was Messiah ever prophesied to be despised? Yes. Booties. My kids always get a kick out of that. Booties. The coming one. One of the also monikers and descriptions of Jesus. And it is associated with the tribe of Zebulun. By the way, did a virgin ever give birth? Yes, that's prophesied in the Bible too. Unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. And the government one day will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Did a virgin ever give birth? Yes. Where? In Bethlehem. But where did the child grow up? Nazareth. Fascinating. Hit the go button. Now what's next? So you move to the next constellation, to Libra. There it is. Do you guys see scales there? I don't. But remember, it's not named Libra or the scales because it looks like a scale. But some people want to play connect the dots. Go ahead, Chris. There you go. All right. Okay. But let's look and see what the stars are. Go ahead. Libra, balances, from the Latin libra, or weighing. Hebrew, however, it's Mozanaim, the scale, to weigh. In Arabic, it's Al-Zubina, to purchase redemption. Coptic, which is a very ancient language as well. It's Labadia, station of propitiation. What's a propitiation, you guys? It's a price paid. The Alpha star is Zubin al-Ganubi, a price deficient, clunk, offset by the beta star, Zubin al-Khamai, a price that overcomes, clunk. The gamma star, third brightest, Zubin al-Akrab, the price of a conflict. Are you seeing a story here? You're out on your rooftop. You know the names of the stars and the constellations. It starts, the Maseroth does, with a virgin. Why? Next constellation. Because there's a price deficient. But don't worry, it's going to be offset by a price paid. Does that sound like the gospel to you? I don't have time to develop them all. The smaller decans, the crux. How do you say crux in non-Latin English? The cross. The Egyptian, Sura, lamb. Corona, the crown bestowed, associated with the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. What's next? We won't do this for all the constellations, but go ahead, Chris, real quickly. Go. Oh, you got Scorpio. There he is. Hebrew word for war, conflict, and the wounding of him who comes. Hebrew word, akrab, war, conflict. Hey, did the devil come against Jesus' willingness to offset a price deficient by a price paid? He sure did. The decans, oh yeah, you got the serpents. A fleeing serpent trying to seize the crown. Hercules, you know that? Problem with Hercules is he had a bad heel. He was wounded. Didn't God say to Eve, his offspring will wound or bruise your Messiah's what? Heel. It's associated with the tribe of Dan. Go. Then you have next is the sun. It's the next month. And then there you are with your dad and grandpa who is telling you what all the stars mean. Sagittarius. This is the archer, the bow conquering. Alpha star is Vega. He shall be exalted. Beta, Shelial, eagle. The decans are the smaller connecting constellations. The harp, the altar, dragon trodden upon, associated with Asher. Go ahead. I won't have time to go through all of these because we are running out of time. These will be on our website. There's a picture of it. Go. Then we're going to move to Aquarius. We're just running out of time. Associated with the tribe of Reuben. Go. The next month would be Pisces. The fishes are tied together. A divided kingdom. Al-Rishah is the band that ties, etc. Andromeda, etc. But go ahead, I want to show you this one. Go ahead. And then you have Aries. Oh, gosh, I love. If you knew the names of these stars every month for 30 days, you could tell your son and grandson what these stars' names are. And do you see along with me, they are telling a story. Go. Taurus the bull. Go. Gemini, the twins, united, go. A wolf and a lamb. Now we're getting toward the end, and we're getting to the 10th. And now you're going to have Cancer, which is always thought of an unfortunate sort of English derivative, and it is. Because the crab, the Hebrew, there is tegmini, which means the fold. The Arabic is kan-sur, not cancer, kan-sur. Sir, the fold, the sheep fold, a place of holding. The alpha star is Dubne, which means he's heard. Greek word for the bear is dob. Greeks mistook the sign of a herd for bear. What's near that one? We just saw it. Ursa Major, the bear. Ursa Minor, the lesser bear, the sheepfold. 24 stars in those two decans circling the pole star. Argo, the ship, a Hebrew word, the redeemed. Now, if you will, Kan-sur is holding a sheep fold, and he's looking at the virgin. And he's going to get her. But there's one more constellation in the way. Number 12, go ahead. The lion. Leo, brightest star in the heavens. Regulus means underfoot. Debonair means the judging comes. Hydra, the fleeing serpent. I'm out of here, says the devil. Creator, the cup of fire. Corvus, the raven. Check out Ezekiel 39:4. It's associated, as you might imagine, with what tribe? Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. If this subject matter is interesting to you, here is a bibliography of people who have been studying the same effects for many years. Do you see along with me that if you know the names of the stars parading across every single night, all the stars are shouting, a virgin is important because there is a scale, there's a price deficient, it's got to be paid. And then the warfare, and you look at all the stars, and finally you get to the constellation of Kan-sur, who's holding the sheepfold of God, and he's eyeing the virgin. But who stands in the way? The lion. You telling me that the gospel of Jesus Christ is told by the 12 constellations plus their lesser constellations? I didn't say it. The Apostle Paul did. Do you see now why the enemy tried to pollute the zodiac? Let's finish quickly because I believe we can. Verse 33. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Perhaps this is a reference to all the stars, if you know how it works. The stars themselves are all fixed. They don't move relative to one another, except for five of them. You come out at 8 o'clock on a Monday, this star is near Regulus in the constellation of a Leo. You come out the next night, and now it's here. You come out the next night, and now it's here. Why do all the stars and the fixed stars, they don't move relative to one another except for five of them? Yeah, that's weird. That's what the Lord is saying. Can you account for that? All the stars are all stuck together except for five that move night to night. Can you explain that? We know today that those five that move to the naked eye, they're not stars at all. What are they? Planets. That's because it's Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And planet is from the Greek and Latin that means wanderers. Hey, Joe, can you explain the five wandering stars? No. Do we know why now? Because they're planets. Verse 34. Can you lift up your voice or shout to the clouds? Then an abundance of water suddenly shoots out? No. Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Can you direct lightning? No. Verse 36. Who has put wisdom in the mind? And who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Can you count the clouds? Or can pour out bottles of heaven? When the dust hardens and clumps and clods cling together, when the land is in drought, is what he's saying. Verse 39. Can you hunt the prey for the lion? Do you know how to do that? Or satisfy the appetites of the young lions, the little baby cubs? Verse 40. When they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs and lie in wait? Verse 41, who provides food for the ravens? Do you do that? When its young cries out to God and wander about for lack of food? He's saying, hey, Job, how do the wild animals know how to build houses, dig dens, get food, migrate at just the right time, and how to raise their young? How do they know how to do that? Who taught them? You inferred. While you, Job, like most humans, are consumed with your problems, I'm caring for all of the animals, people, weather, water, food, snow, families, babies that you know nothing about. And if I can do all that, Job, I can certainly take care of you in the way that most perfectly accomplishes my eternal purposes. And everything and everyone else's. Amen? How many of you think that the Maseroth is awesome? Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, I think that most Christians have no idea that the word Maseroth is even in the Bible. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Yes, a soaring mountain peaks and sandy beaches and a pristine field of untrodden snow. That's all wow stuff for sure. But the Apostle Paul in Romans 10 is saying, oh, Israel should have known that Jesus is Messiah. Yeah, why is that, Paul? Because the constellations, the Maseroth, told them the story of the gospel, and they missed it. The heavens declare the glory of God. There's nowhere that humans are that they cannot see the 12 constellations. And if they did their homework, they would see the gospel, the virgin all the way around to the lion. And we sang about that tonight. Lord, I want to thank you that if you took care of 12 months in a year, 12 constellations, etc., 7 days in a week, 7 notes on a musical scale, 7 continents, 7 seas, all of your creation bears the fingerprint of the perfect designer. And if you took care of all of that even before I was born, you certainly can know my life and let the things touch my life that you are doing so because it is for your purpose. My job, stop complaining, stop squeaking, pointing a finger, therefore. The reason I don't have love, joy, peace is because of them. God would say to us like he's saying to Job, oh, really? What's your excuse? And the real answer is there is no excuse. Be still and know that I am God. I'm taking care of all of that. Loved one, son or daughter, I can take care of you too. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And everybody said, amen.